Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are going through the New Testament one chapter a day, Monday through Friday. We're trying to keep it at about 10 minutes. We haven't been all that good with it. We haven't done 10 minutes too many times, but we are trying to keep it there. So here we are, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. When Jesus finished instructing his disciples in chapter 10, he sent his disciples out. He had 12 disciples, known as apostles, and he broke them into teams of two. So he sent out six teams. So what's happening here? It's beginning to multiply. It's not just adding, but it's multiplying because Jesus has been teaching them. And since he's been teaching them, now he's sending them out so that they can do the same. And they're going to do the same ministry that Jesus did. That's what he told them to do. Whatever ministry I'm doing, you do the same thing. What you've seen me do, you do. So when Jesus finished instructing his disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the cities. So that's what we've been saying that the ministry of Jesus is. He's always teaching. Whenever you find Jesus, he's always teaching, just always. He's a teacher, he's always teaching. So a primary ministry of those who are Jesus' emissaries, Jesus' disciples, is teaching. Teaching, but it's not just teaching. Jesus went out to preach and to teach. So preaching, though, is more invitational. It's inviting people to follow. It's inviting people to become believers. It's inviting people to be born again. It's inviting people to become followers of Jesus, right? So what's happening is this is multiplying because there's lots of people. And so just one person walking from town to town with some other people, it's not going to get it done. So he's splitting it up into teams. And that's what's happening right now all over the planet. Is that he's calling people, and then he's multiplying those things, and then those teams are scattering. And so it is with us. You know, our church has sent several ministers. For almost every year of our existence, we have sent somebody out full-time, and we've been involved in planting some churches and sending church planters, starting new things, sending people overseas. So it multiplies. Now, verse 2, when John, that's being John the Baptist, when John the Baptist heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent words to his disciples, John's disciples. Disciple is a student, is somebody who's a follower. Jesus had disciples, John had disciples. But John tried to get his disciples to follow Jesus. And he said to them, are you the one, asking Jesus, are you the one who's good to come, or should we look for another one? So what's going on here? John is having doubts. John the Baptist. Now, this is the guy that pointed to Jesus. This is the guy who stood in the water, baptized Jesus, saw the dove come down from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. And now he's having doubts. What should we learn from that? Well, if John the Baptist had doubts, you might have doubts too. There's nothing necessarily wrong with having doubts. What goes wrong is what you do with those doubts. And the best thing to do with those doubts is what John did. And John asked Jesus, what's going on? So if you have doubts, ask Jesus. He'll help you to figure it out. He'll help you through these doubts. Doubts are sort of natural. Well, are you the one to come? Well, he said, go and tell John two things, what you hear and what you see. Well, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who's not offended by me. So because Jesus was God in the flesh, and so wherever he goes, that's where the kingdom of God is ruling and reigning, you would just naturally assume then that what's going to happen is wherever Jesus is, that kingdom of heaven will be there. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in heaven, there's no blindness, there's no deafness, there's no lame people, there's no poor people. So those things, the kingdom of God ruling there on earth through Jesus, you would expect that would happen. So, and as they went away, they left. So Jesus starts to speak to the crowds because they were familiar with John the Baptist concerning John. And he said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? You see, John didn't come to them in the middle of the street and get a bullhorn and start proclaiming this. They went out to John. He said, did you go to see a reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. White collar workers. John was a blue collar worker. Why do white collar workers wear white collars? So that they know that you don't get dirty. I have a job where I don't get dirty. That's why they wear the white collars. Well, John's not like that. John's not like that. And so it would have really surprised the religious leaders that John wasn't like that. He said, what then did you go out to see? Did you go see a prophet? And he said, yes, I tell you more than a prophet. This is he who it's written of. Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare the way for you. Jesus quotes out of the book of Malachi. And there are other prophecies about John the Baptist as well. And Mark talks about those in his gospel. The fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies. So John is in fact a prophet. And then Jesus will go on. Let's read the rest of what he says here. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist is, you know, the prophet of prophets. He's the one who's introducing Jesus. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. From the days of John the Baptist until now, until Jesus' day, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. The rule of God suffered violence. You read about it in the Old Testament. And the violent have taken it by force. You know, really, you know, the fight to bring the rule and the reign of God where the people live. So for all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, all of the Old Testament points to John the Baptist. But it points beyond John the Baptist, but it ends, the book of Malachi ends with a prophecy about John the Baptist. So the Old Testament ends with a prophecy about John the Baptist. And Jesus said, and if you're willing, he's Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. Well, what is this about Elijah? Elijah was the prophet who never saw death. He was taken up into heaven in a fire, in a chariot. That's the way I want to go. I guess that's what the rapture is like. You don't die. You just go to heaven. You're just taken by God. Well, it says that before the Lord comes, Elijah will come. And so John the Baptist is a forerunner of Jesus. He comes and he proclaims Jesus. He's a prophet who's proclaiming Jesus. So Elijah was going to come before that great and terrible day of the Lord, proclaiming that the Lord was coming. And so John the Baptist, either he is that, or he's a type of that, or he's another fulfillment of that. He said, but Jesus said, but what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace calling calling to their playmates. Well, in the ancient world, the marketplace, everybody goes to the marketplace at some time. You know, it's there that you buy your meat, you buy your food, you buy your vegetables, you buy your things. And the marketplace is maybe a daily occurrence that you're there all the time. So if you're selling your goods in the marketplace, what do you do with your kids? Well, there's no preschool, there's no academies. You take your kids with you, and the kids sort of hang around there. And a lot of times they help, a lot of times they work, and sometimes they play with each other. So there in the marketplace, there's kids playing. And Jesus said, this is what this generation is like. They're like children. And he said, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. So we played a happy song and you didn't dance. We played a dirge, a funeral song, and you didn't mourn. You know, this generation can't be happy, really, is what Jesus is saying. So he said, John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, says that he ate with sinners, and they said, look at him. He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and a friend of sinners, yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Well, what a thing to be called. Jesus was called a friend of sinners, a friend of sinners. And then he began to denounce the cities where his most mighty works had been done because they didn't repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to the heavens? This is where Jesus had his ministry headquarters. You'll be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it'll be more tolerable on the day of judgment than for the land of Sodom than for yours. So they were rejecting Jesus. His last one here, verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed it to the little children. The religious leaders aren't seeing it, but the common people are. And Jesus said, I thank you that the little children, the common people are seeing it. The religious leaders are rejecting it. He said, because this was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to him whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Here it is. This is the invitation to the lost and to the found, to those who believe and those who don't believe, to the saved and to the unsaved. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest, rest for your souls. Take your yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That word souls in the Greek is psuche, like psyche. It's you. It's your being. It's who you are. It's your inner life. It's the internal you. It's all of your experiences, all of your emotions, all of your feelings, all of your history, all of the things that make you you, all of the things that cause you to worry, all of the things that cause you to want to succeed, to have goals in life, all of those things inside of you. Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. What a promise. So Lord Jesus, we come unto you and we believe that you will give us rest for our souls, rest for our psyche, rest for the person that resides inside of this body that has so many things going on. We receive your rest in Jesus' name. Amen. So Bible and Daily Life, find us on Spotify, find us on YouTube, find us Calvary Chapel 316. Where else can you find us? You can find us all over the place. Hey, Facebook. Hey, bless you guys. Love you. Let's keep moving through the New Testament.